Sounds, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
You're listening to CJLO News. Montreal has closed off an urban forest in Notre-Dame-de-Grâce, but locals are fighting to keep it open. In November, the city of Montreal announced it would be closing a portion of the Falaise escarpment in the NDG neighborhood of St. Raymond, saying it was unsafe. It is a stretch of forest running by the railway tracks along Highway 20. The area is not part of the official Falaise Grand Park, which surrounds the area and was created in 2018. But local residents and volunteers have been maintaining the paths, clearing garbage, and using this unofficial bit of urban green space since 2015. These citizens and community groups believe management of this area should stay within the community, and that closing it off is an overreach by the city. They have been campaigning for the area to open back up.
Now, there's a reason that this park is really important. It's the only real place of, like, green space that people in St. Raymond's and West Haven and a lot of areas that are really underserved have, that they can access, because these people don't have cars. If they want to go to a green space, they have to be able to get there by public transit or walk. A lot of parks, especially the grand parks, are, you can't get to them by public transit.
That was Lisa Mintz, the director of Urban Nature Education, which runs education programs in the Falaise area. She is also the co-founder of Sauvons la Falaise, which fought to get the surrounding area protected as a park back in 2018. This stretch of forest was not included in that park. Mintz believes it should be.
There's people who come to go cross-country skiing, there's people who come to walk their dogs, there's people who come to go jogging, and people bring their kids to have fun. We normally, like Urban Nature is an organization I created 6 years ago now. It's a charity which teaches environmental education, and our base is the Falaise Saint-Jacques. That's where we do most of our activities, and generally they're free, and they're for the people who live around the Falaise that can't afford, you know, activities, and they're for mostly for families. This is not fair to them. It's not fair to the people who have spent 10 years working on creating this park. So we did everything. We cleaned up the park. We let people know about it. We cleaned up all the garbage. We created the paths. There's people who are doing all kinds of stewardship on it. Urban Nature does education there. And the city's saying, well, no, we don't want any of that anymore because there's this nebulous threat of something maybe happening sometime in the future.
David Gamper is a local in the area. He's also a coordinator of Sauvons la Falaise. Here's Gamper.
We're not letting it stop here. We disagree. We think that it's an excess of caution. It's against the interests of local people. In the end, they need to get out. They need a bit of chance to enjoy the forest. It's the only bit of urban forest in NDG.
Since the announcement of the closure, community members have been sending a slew of letters to the city requesting the area not be closed down. Recently, multiple teachers who take their students through the wooded area for educational purposes have sent letters as well, with enclosed drawings and notes from school children. The city closed the area due to a soil assessment which indicated the area is unsafe. The assessment was done after a landslide back in August. City spokesperson Camille Béguin stated that they had to close the area in order to keep the public safe. Sauvons la Falaise believes with proper maintenance the area can be safe and that citizens should be able to use their own discretion about entering the urban forest. Members of Sauvons la Falaise are expected to meet with city officials later this month to discuss the future of the wooded area. For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tommy John Show here on CGLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. Hope everyone is doing well. We got a snowy, wet, rainy Monday, December the 16th, and we got a jam-packed show for you guys today. We had a hectic week in the NFL. We had the Heisman Trophy ceremony this weekend. Bill Belichick going to college. And some teams in the NHL are just going down a brutal path. And we will get to all of it over the next hour here on the Tommy John Show. And if you're a first-time listener, remember to follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, whatever social media platform you have. The Tommy John Show is on it. Make sure to give us a look and a follow. Much appreciated. So we have to start off with the National Football League. And it would be foolish if we did not, because we are entering the most important time of the year. Christmas is, what, a week away, 9 days away. We have 3 weeks left, and the playoff picture is starting to materialize. We have in the AFC especially, the AFC, we have a very good understanding of who is going to make the playoffs. It's just where those wild card seeds are going to pan out, and who's going to have the one seed. Those are the real main storylines in the AFC. You get to the NFC, and it's an absolute gong show. You have dominant teams like Detroit, Philly. You think they're a shoo-in. But then you have the teams like Minnesota and Green Bay who are lurking around to win a division. And if you think Washington is a shoo-in to make the playoffs, well, hold on now. What about the Rams? What about Seattle? What about Atlanta? What about all these teams that still have a shot with 3 weeks to go? The NFC is far more up for grabs for playoff purposes. I mean, playoff spots. It's without question. The AFC, I don't want to hear about Cincinnati. After yesterday, I don't want to hear about the Indianapolis Colts. I don't want to hear about Tua and the Dolphins. We have our seven playoff teams. We have them. We have Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Houston, Baltimore, Denver, Los Angeles, the Chargers. That is it. Sure, there's the outside chance if the Chargers completely fall apart down the stretch and the Broncos completely fall apart down the stretch and the Bengals win out, then the Bengals get in. I guess so. But I just don't see that happening. And the Colts had a golden opportunity yesterday to kind of get things going a bit in the AFC, have some fun down the stretch. And then, I don't know what the hell that was in the second half. We have a running back dropping the ball to Jonathan Taylor before he breaks the plane. Then we have a trick play with A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver, throwing a ball across the field and it gets picked off, pick six. Everything went wrong for Indianapolis. And that pretty much guaranteed the seven playoff teams. That's what it did. That game was the one I was looking out for. If Indianapolis win this game, then Denver drops down a bit. They go to 500, the Colts. Now it's 8-6, 7-7. Colts have the tiebreaker. Denver still has to play Kansas City again. They still have to play the Chargers. It's a tough schedule. Still have to play Cincinnati. The Colts are in a good spot. With Jonathan Taylor dropping the ball short of the goal line, that changed everything. And it was just a disastrous fourth quarter. And with that game alone, we have our seven playoff teams in the AFC. Now you go to the NFC, and it is really, really up for grabs. Yes, Detroit is in, Philly's in, Minnesota's in, Green Bay's in, I'm trying to think who else in the South. Tampa, Atlanta, that's not resolved yet. And if you think about it, if you really sit down and think about it, you could have two teams from the West, which I don't know how people could have saw that a few weeks ago. With Washington as the final wildcard team, with the Commanders at, 9-5, playing Philadelphia down the stretch, and playing Dallas down the stretch and playing Atlanta down the stretch, they have a pretty tough schedule the last 3 weeks. If they, you know, get off on the wrong foot next week, lose a tough game, they're in trouble. And they barely beat New Orleans yesterday. They're not trending in the right direction. With their performance, and now they're 9-5, 1-2 in a row, okay. But I have not been impressed. If they let Spencer Rattler and the Saints come back on him and we're a two-point conversion away from losing that game, they'd be 8-6. And if you look at the teams at 8-6, you have the Rams now 8-6. Seattle's 8-6. The Cardinals are 7-7. Tampa Bay's 8-6. If the Falcons, they play the Raiders tonight, they'll be 7-7. To say that the Commanders just have that final playoff spot is not true. Will it happen? It could happen, absolutely. It can 1,000% happen. It's probably likely because they are in there right now at 9-5. But you play the Eagles, who might be the hottest team in football. Then you play Atlanta, who are desperate. Could be a Michael Penix Falcons team. Then you play Dallas, who are still hanging around. And that muffed, whatever you want to call it, that block field goal fumble against Cincinnati, or else they would have won that game. If they won that game last week, if they just don't touch the ball and recover it, Aubrey hits a game-winning field goal, right now the Cowboys would be 500. But they're 6-8. It's a long shot, but you never know. You never know. So the reason I'm starting off with is just kind of give you guys a glimpse of the playoff picture and why the NFC is just far more interesting to follow right now than the AFC. The AFC's, Mahomes, he might be out next week. Maybe he loses. Buffalo can try and catch that one seed. Oh, maybe there's some changes between the Chargers and the Broncos. They play each other Thursday. One will be the 6th seed or the 7th seed. Pittsburgh, maybe with Baltimore, they play each other to determine who gets a bye. But the playoff teams are set. That's what we're trying to get out. The AFC, I don't want to hear about Indy, Cincinnati, Miami. No, we have the 7 playoff teams. They are confirmed. The NFC is a gong show. We don't know who's going to win the South. We don't know who's going to win the West. We're trying to see who's the one seed. Right now, Detroit's still the one seed because of the conference record. They have one loss to an AFC team, one loss to an NFC team, where the Eagles have lost to both NFC teams. They lost to Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Those are their two NFC losses, Philadelphia. The Lions lost to Tampa Bay and Buffalo. So won the AFC, they have the better conference record. Right now, they are still the one seed. But then there's this team called the Vikings who can still get the one seed. Then there's this team with called Green Bay who won last night. They can still get the one seed. So, and not to mention, you have Washington holding on to a playoff spot. You have the Rams in Seattle, Arizona. It's crazy the amount of teams that still have a shot in the NFC. Crazy. So if you're trying to pick and choose which games to watch, the AFC sorted. And the games that matter are in their standalone games. The Chiefs play at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And yes, they're going up against college football, but that's the big game. Houston, Kansas City. If Kansas City lose that one, then Buffalo's right there for that one seed. That will be interesting to see. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, that's interesting to see. Besides that, even the Chargers-Broncos game, they're both in the playoffs. So if you're trying to look at which conference to follow down the stretch, it is 1,000% the NFC. 1,000. You need to know who the one seed is, and it's not just between two teams. It's between four with Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, Philadelphia. They can all get the one seed. Then you have to determine who wins the South. Then you have to determine who wins the West. And then will Washington hold on to that last wild card spot? There is so much to play for in the NFC. The AFC is done. We know what it is. So my little rant here to open the show is, what's the AFC's done, that Indianapolis game killed everything. Any excitement we had, and Tua vomiting in the fourth quarter That killed all the excitement we had. If Tua plays decent yesterday, they're 7-7. If the Colts just don't drop a ball on a wide, with Jonathan Taylor just uses his brain and doesn't do that stupid celebration where they drop the ball, and the Colts are 7-7, the Dolphins are 7-7, and then you have the Broncos at 8-6, who lost the head-to-head in Indianapolis, and then we got some action in the AFC. That just awful fourth quarter by the Colts, who got outscored 24-0 after Jonathan Taylor dropped the ball short of the end zone. That little run of play by the Colts just really ended the postseason for everyone. Remember the regular season, I should say. The seven teams are done. And even the Chargers got to be thinking, good Lord, we got blown out by Tampa Bay. Just annihilated. And we came out the winners because Indianapolis lost. Miami lost. We have a two-game lead now. And then the only other team with a shot's the Bengals, and the Chargers beat the Bengals. So the only way the Bengals surpass the Chargers is if the Chargers lose out and the Bengals win out. That's the only way, because then it'd be 8-9 versus 9-8. But I'm looking at the Chargers' schedule. They should win 10 games, so they're going to make the playoffs. Just really interesting. The AFC is just not... I remember when we talked about all the great quarterback play in the AFC. Yeah, the AFC is so much better than the NFC. I don't know. This NFC this year is so entertaining. There's so many good teams. The Rams are 8-6, when healthy, are a very good team. Tampa Bay, when healthy, is a very good team. You have three great teams in the NFC North. And I know Detroit's banged up like crazy. They lost McNeil now for the year. Hutchinson's out for the year. Montgomery's injured now. It's just the injuries are adding up for Detroit, and that's unfortunate. That's why that bye is so important. So that the NFC, it's just so important. It's just so important that these last three games. We have two divisions left to be decided, and we have at least one wild card spot open, and the one seed with 3 weeks to go. So that's my little spiel. The quick scores, I mean, we can just quickly go through it. You had the Rams 12-6 over the Niners. Niners are done. Commanders 20-19 over the Saints. The Chiefs 21-7. Jameis is a turnover machine. The big storyline is Mahomes getting hurt. We'll get into that, but they're probably going to make him play. They want that one seed. Bengals 37-27 over the Titans. The Texans 20-12 over the Dolphins. I mean, who cares about the Ravens and the Giants? The Giants stink. 35-14, the Ravens win. The Jets finally win a game against Mac Jones and the Jaguars, 32-25. Dallas, their best game of the year, in my opinion, 30-14 over Carolina. Tampa Bay, statement win, 40-17 over the Chargers. The damn Colts, 31-13, the Broncos win that one. Bo Nix threw three picks, it didn't even matter. Their defense is really good in Denver, really, really good. Cardinals, 30-17 over the Patriots. Bills, 48-42 over the Lions. Josh Allen, MVP's yours. Jared Goff was awesome, too. But Josh Allen's the MVP of the league. That should be wrapped up as well. Eagles, 27-13. Big win in the battle of Pennsylvania over the Steelers. And in Sunday Night Football, 30-13, the Packers roll over the Seahawks. Two games tonight. Bears at Vikings, Falcons at Raiders. We'll get into the NFL more later in the hour. The NHL, and man, there's some teams that are flying high, and then there's some teams that are so awful, it's hard to even express. That team would be the Buffalo Sabres, and another team right now would be the New York Rangers. Those two New York teams are just completely falling apart. The Sabres have lost 10 in a row. They're 0-7-3 in their last 10. Had a lead last night in Toronto. Let that one slip away. And if they don't win tomorrow against Montreal, they are real. That would be staggering. Because the Canadians, I know we're in Montreal, they've been awful too. Been awful. They let the Penguins score 9 goals on them. And yes, they were playing better before that. I don't know. It just, they're not a great team. And the real question is, and I like Marty St. Louis too. He's a great player, Hall of Famers, won everything, Stanley Cups, gold medals, MVPs, you name it. He's won everything there is to win as a player, first-time head coach. He's not on the hot seat yet, but there were some murmurs after that 9-2 loss. against Pittsburgh. They played Winnipeg tough. Give them credit. Lane Hutson finally scored, but they're not a good team. And but they have to be Buffalo. I mean, you cannot. Buffalo are so bad. You have two ends of the spectrum with Buffalo. We have the Bills with Josh Allen, excellence, and then you got the Sabres, who haven't made the playoffs in, what, 14 years? Since, what, 2010, I think? They've lost 10 in a row. 10. And they were playing decent to start the year. I'm like, oh, maybe Buffalo's turn a corner. And then even Lindy Ruff, the head coach, he's like, I don't know what the hell is happening. He's stunned. They are a mess. But a bigger surprise, we all know the Sabres stink. The bigger surprise is the New York Rangers. They ship out Trouba. And then now, over the weekend, 5-1 loss to the Kings, 3-2 loss to the Blues, who are playing much better with Montgomery. But then look at their next few games. They have to beat Nashville. Nashville stink. They don't beat the Predators. I would not be surprised at all. It will not surprise me one bit if they make the coaching switch. It would not. The Bruins did it with Montgomery. Teams do it. The Oilers did it last year with Woodcroft. They bring in Knobloch. It would not surprise me Laviolette's on the hot seat. It would not surprise me one bit. They're shipping Kreider out of town, it looks like. I mean, they're looks like they're pretty much starting over. But they just locked up Shesterkin. Then they give Lafreniere the contract. So it's kind of weird, but maybe the older guys, Zibanejad. I mean, Panarin's untouchable. Fox, Shesterkin, Lafreniere, I guess, are the untouchables. Everyone else is up for sale. But they're not as big as a disaster. They still got very good players there. The Sabres are an absolute unmitigated disaster. I don't know how they lost that game last night. Had the lead. And then John Tavares went off late. It's just, the Sabres really stink. It's really bad. Like, as bad as it's been, 10 losses in a row, and they've had long losing streaks before, but they started off decent, and they kind of got their hopes up. Owen Power, Dahlin, Tage Thompson, Cousins, we got good players here. They have just completely fallen apart. Completely. Head of the Pacific, Winnipeg still leading the way, Minnesota right behind them, then Dallas and Colorado. Head of the Pacific, it is Vegas, Los Angeles, then the Edmonton Oilers, who have won 5 in a row. The NBA, and it's the same old teams at the top. The Cavs leading the way, only one game up on the Celtics, followed by the New York Knicks. Then the Magic head to the Western Conference. Oklahoma City, Memphis, Houston, Dallas, Denver, and Phoenix are all lumped together. Oh, Golden State, Minnesota, they all have the same record as well. So teams 5 through 8 in the West are all not tied up. The regular season, who cares in the NBA? Let's be honest. It's just the same old all the time. But we do have the NBA Cup final on Tuesday. The Bucks and the Thunder from Las Vegas. Let's see. It's a bit strange, the NBA Cup. I kind of forgot it was happening. I just know it's the NBA Cup when I see the different color floor. Like when the Celtics have the green floor, I'm like, oh, it's the NBA Cup. But now it's the final, Bucks and Thunder. It's going to be a good game. Both teams, Milwaukee's completely turned it around. Remember how bad they were to start the year? They've completely turned it around, so good for them. Bill Belichick, now the head coach of North Carolina. That is a shocking story. We will get into that after the break, but he is now the next head coach of the Tar Heels, replacing Mac Brown. And it's just, I when the reports are coming out, I'm like, that's strange, but I don't think it's going to happen. It actually happened. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. We will get into that later in the show. Travis Hunter wins the 2024 Heisman Trophy. The two-way star from Colorado, projected top 5 pick, wins it. The first Colorado Buffalo to win the Heisman Trophy in 30 years. 30 years. And everyone laughed at Deion Sanders to take the Colorado job, the worst program in the country. What are you doing? In 2 years, they went from a 1-win team to a 9-win team playing a big bowl game and having the Heisman Trophy winner and 2 top 5 picks. He's turned that around in 2 years. Yep, Rashawn Salaam in 94, Travis Hunter in 2024. 30-year anniversary, and another Buffalo wins it. Good for them. Here is Travis Hunter briefly after winning the Heisman Trophy on Saturday night from New York City.
All the coaches that helped me when my mom took me and my brother to move away from Florida to Georgia, I thank y'all so much. Coach Fountain, I appreciate you. You took me to every practice. You took me to go get my first pair of cleats in high school. You took me to every training session that I had, two times a day, every day of the week in the off season. You made sure I had the good grades to get through high school. I thank you so much. I know you're back home at Collins Hill watching this right now. I hope you don't cry, but I'm gonna cry for you. Thank you. And all my Collins Hill homies, coaches, teachers, I thank y'all. Y'all shined the light on me. Y'all helped me get everything I needed and everything I wanted out of football. Thank y'all. Last but not least, my Colorado Buffaloes. I appreciate y'all so much. I know y'all somewhere out here in New York. Nobody know y'all here, but now they know, baby. Now they know. Hey, man, I thank all the brothers, all my brothers through college, you know, Jackson State included. That was my learning grounds. That was my proving grounds. I had to start somewhere, and I started there. Thank y'all, Jackson State. But Colorado, I know y'all somewhere. And we got this after party finna go crazy. Hey, appreciate y'all, man. I love y'all. I put y'all on the flight, but y'all, the most people that made it, thank y'all for making the flight. Holding my name down, holding Colorado name down. Skol Buffs, baby.
That was Travis Hunter after winning the Heisman Trophy. Very likable guy. Hopefully he's a New England Patriot next year. So, he beats out Ashton Jeanty for the Heisman Trophy. From Boise State. It was a very close Heisman. Jeanty deserves a lot of credit. I think just him playing in the Mountain West, that really hurt him. People are like, yeah, he was great against San Jose State, UNLV. UNLV's not bad. They had some big wins this year. But he's a great player. He's going to be great in the league. But Travis Hunter in the Big 12, which is a high passing conference, him being the best player in that conference on the defensive and offensive side of the ball, it was Travis Hunter all day. He was the best corner in the country. He won the Biletnikoff for best receiver. Now, you can argue whether it should have been him or was it Nick Nash from San Jose State or the kid T-Mac from Arizona. The fact that he's even nominated for the Biletnikoff, let alone winning the Biletnikoff, and then being the defensive player of the year and AP player of the year, he had to win the Heisman Trophy. There's no two ways around it. No two ways around it. Congrats to him. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Bill Belichick being the next head coach of the Tar Heels and who I like this weekend for college football. The playoff kicks off Friday night. I will give you my picks for that, as well as who I like coming out of the AFC and NFC. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Concordia Relay for Life is inviting you to an extravagant soiree this January 19th at 6 p.m. on the 9th floor of the JMSB building. The gala will showcase a diverse array of artwork from around the Concordia community, artist talks, and a look into fundraising for cancer research on campus. All proceeds will go to the Canadian Cancer Society, so bring your friends, dress to impress, and support a good cause during this elegant evening of culture and community. For more details, find us at Concordia Relay on Instagram or Facebook.
Hey, are you looking for an alternative to FM radio playlists? Then tune in to the World Beat News radio program right here on CJLO 1690 AM every Tuesday from noon to 1 p.m. to hear brand new World Beat music from mainly Canadian artists. Call or text at 848-7471.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. So what a week we had in football. This Heisman Trophy, have the college games this week. It would be a huge week regardless with everything going on in the sport. But then you had the bombshell from Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and all the insiders confirming that Bill Belichick, yes, Bill Belichick, will be the next head coach of the University of North Carolina. Not for basketball. University of North Carolina football. And when I heard the reports earlier last week, I think it was early last weekend, you started hearing, oh, he had a meeting with Carolina. I'm like, oh, makes sense. They called him up like, hey, would you be interested in interviewing for a college job just to see what it's like? The interviewing thing did not throw me off at all. It really didn't. But it's the fact that I heard reports he had like a 400-page manifesto and took great pride in the North Carolina job. I was like, whoa, what? This doesn't make any sense. But when you think about it, him taking the job in North Carolina, is it that crazy? Is it that crazy? If you look around the NFL, if you just look around the league, what are the job openings that are going to be there? Jacksonville? I doubt Cincinnati will be open. What are you gonna, Dallas, they're not going to go off for McCarthy. They're playing much better now. They might end the year 500. Maybe 8-9, and he's had 12 win seasons before, and Jerry Jones likes a coach that he can manipulate, and that is Mike McCarthy. The Eagles' job, everyone thought, oh, Sirianni is a bad year. The Eagles' job opened up for Bill. None of these jobs are opening up. If you want the Raiders' job, if you want the Giants' job, I have a weird feeling Dave will be back, and also, I don't think the Mara's family want Belichick there. That's just my feeling. And also, you hear reports that, hey, you know what? Bill Belichick wasn't getting that much interest from NFL teams. So it starts to make sense. As more time goes on from him accepting this job and you hear different reports, it makes sense why he took the North Carolina job. It makes sense. There weren't a lot of NFL openings. And if there were, was he going to go another year not coach? He won't get hired by any of them. Misses out on the college swing. At least here at North Carolina, which is not in the SEC, not in the Big Ten, it's in the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, where SMU and Clemson are in it, and an awful Florida State. Who else? NC State, Boston College, Syracuse, Stanford, Miami of Florida. Give me a break. Bill Belichick said, you know what? This is a program that says they're going to put a lot into their football program. Has a brand new stadium, brand new facility. His dad used to coach there in the 50s. He gets to bring his entire staff, and he has probably the guarantee, which I think is true, that his son will succeed him as the next head coach in North Carolina. It made too much sense. He's going to get paid a fortune. I think it's a 5-year deal. Could be 3, or I thought it was 5, but could be 3-year deal to be the head coach. And if he has one great year in North Carolina, next year they're in the ACC title game, which is not out of the realm of possibility, especially when you look at their schedule. Their schedule is awful. Literally awful. I think what their tough game is, what, Syracuse? TCU? I just needed, when I saw the schedule, I almost fainted. TCU, Charlotte, Richmond, UCF, Cal, NC State, Clemson, Duke, Stanford, Virginia, Syracuse, Wake Forest. Listen to that schedule. They open up against TCU, then they're at Charlotte, Richmond, UCF, Cal, NC State, Clemson at home, Duke at home, Stanford, Virginia, Syracuse, Wake Forest. That is UNC's opponents next year. That's who North Carolina plays. That's 10, that's 11 wins. They're only, I think their toughest game is at Syracuse. Isn't it with the Carrier Dome? Is that what they call it? At Syracuse. That is their toughest game for me. Maybe Clemson at home. This is a 9-10 win schedule with the team they had last year. Then you're going to have the Bill Belichick effect. A lot of kids and their parents are going to be like, you know what? Go play for Bill Belichick. He's an 8-time Super Bowl champion, 6-time winner as a head coach, greatest NFL coach of all time. You want to go to the league, play for Bill Belichick. Not saying he's going to have the number one recruiting class, but some players are going to start transferring. In the transfer portal, a lot of people are going to go to North Carolina. And I just heard a report that their best offensive lineman went into the portal. Now that Belichick is named the head coach, he's coming back. They get the 4-star kid from the state of North Carolina, one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the country. He's committed to North Carolina. So things are already in motion where the Tar Heels, they're not going to win the national championship. But to say they can't play in the ACC title game next year, they can't go 10-2 with that schedule. And if they win that game with the new college football format, they'll be in the playoff. And if he does that, 10-2 leads North Carolina to a title game, conference championship game, some NFL teams for sure will call. And if they don't, who cares? You can build your legacy as a great college coach too, which not many have done at both levels. With Jimmy Johnson, Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, not a lot who dominated at both levels or was successful at both levels. Hell, even Bill Walsh wasn't that successful at Stanford. Like if he's successful at North Carolina, builds a competitive program, and with the talent he is going to get, and with the state of the ACC right now, why can't North Carolina be the class of the ACC? He's a very good coach. He's going to bring McDaniels for sure. He's bringing his son in. I wouldn't be surprised if he brings Matt Patricia. He already brought Lombardi to be the GM of the program. So this is a Bill Belichick program already. It's the Patriot way in Chapel Hill. That's what it's going to be for the next few years at North Carolina. That's what it's going to be. I credit to North Carolina. Bill Belichick was the biggest name on out there. The biggest name out there without, like, not even close. What, are you going to get the coach from Tulane? Seriously, what are you going to do? You saw what a huge name could do to a program with Colorado and Deion Sanders. Bill Belichick's a huge name. The amount of publicity that North Carolina is going to get next year, all throughout the offseason, their scrimmages, their spring practices, all the media is going to be there because they want to see what Bill Belichick's team looks like. And kids are going to want to play for Bill Belichick. As crazy as it sounds, this is not the NFL. This is college. They want to get coached up and go to the league. And Bill Belichick, at least at first, is going to flash his Super Bowl rings and his resume. And if the kids don't want to go there, you got to think their parents or whoever are saying, you know what, maybe go play for Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick knows people in the league. If you play for Bill Belichick, oh, you're going to be fine. Seriously. It makes sense for North Carolina. They took a huge swing, and I think for them, it's going to hit. At least they're going to get media publicity like crazy. People are going to go to the games. There's going to be sellouts now for their games. And they're going to get a lot of new kids in there who want to play for Bill Belichick. And I've been a huge, huge hater of Bill Belichick. Maybe not hater. I like Bill Belichick. I appreciate what he's done for the Patriots. But at the tail end, him and his people were getting too arrogant, saying, oh, we could put any quarterback in this system. Oh, I wanted to vomit when I was reading that. Obviously, I'm a Tom Brady over Bill Belichick guy because I'm a player over a coach guy. Not just that, but also to say you could win all those Super Bowls with a top 15, any top 15 quarterback is just not true. And then Tom had to go to Tampa and prove him wrong. At least, I think now they're on good terms, so I'm fine with Bill Belichick now. Him and Brady seem cool. But what we're coming out of his camp at the tail end, and then him wanting to do it without Brady, just that kind of put me a bit off on Bill Belichick. But now I'm all in again. I want to see him do well at North Carolina. It'd just be so much fun to have another good program in a BS conference. It's only the ACC, only the SEC, only the Big Ten that really have a chance. The ACC, SMU, Clemson, no. We need a blue chip program. And if Bill Belichick can provide us that blue chip program, I'm not saying they're going to be right away, but if they can't, it would be great for the sport. And look at that schedule. I mean, I cannot get over that schedule. It is the biggest cupcake schedule I've ever seen. And it looked like a Penn State schedule. That's what it looked like. Just softball after softball. It's a joke. To say you can't win 9-10 games with a decent recruiting class and already some of the players are already there. I don't know. I think he'll do well. He's going to have winning records. If he doesn't, it is an unmitigated disaster. With that schedule, you can't beat Charlotte. Can't beat TCU at home. Virginia. God, what an easy schedule. Their toughest game's at Syracuse. They get Clemson at home. They get that's their other tough game, Clemson. They get him at home, and it's at Syracuse is the tough one. Crazy. Here's Bill Belichick at the press conference last week after accepting the job to be the head coach of the Tar Heels.
Sweatshirt, but...
Sorry, there's a quick ad there. So Bill Belichick, he was going to say there like how his dad coached there. He shows the sweatshirt of his dad at North Carolina. So that's maybe the main reason why. The sentimental value. Listen, we can go on and on and on and on why Bill Belichick took this coaching job. But let's be honest. If there was an NFL job that was open, he would not be here with North Carolina. He just wouldn't be. Let's try this again. Here's Bill Belichick after being named the next head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah. You can tell I like it, right? I've kept it a long time. It's got a little wear on it. Chancellor Bubba, thank you. I can't express my gratitude to both of you, the Board of Trustees, for this amazing opportunity. I've always wanted to coach in football, coach in college football, and it just never really worked out. I had some good years in the NFL, so that was okay. But this is really kind of a dream come true. I grew up in college football with my dad. As a coach of Navy for 50 years, so as a kid, all I knew was college football, and so it's great to come back home to Carolina, back in an environment that I really grew up in. When you're little, you don't remember everything. Obviously, I was too young to remember a lot of things from Carolina, but as I grew up, you hear the same story over and over and over and over again, and so. One story I always heard was Billy's first words were, "Beat Duke."
So nice little thing there. Yeah, beat Duke, beat Duke. You're going to beat the hell out of Duke, Bill Belichick. I mean, this is not basketball. It's not women's soccer. This is football. This is football. And they will, trust me, if they lose to Duke, he might be out. Well, like Duke, really? I know it's a cute story. It's a big rival, in-state rival, Duke. I understand that. But North Carolina, trust me, this is huge for them. They want to get the football program off and running again. They've had good players. I mean, you go back all the way. They have Lawrence Taylor and other great NFL players and Hall of Fame players. Recently, I know we're going to laugh, Mitch Trubisky, he was a top five pick. Drake May went third overall last year from North Carolina. They've had this Downs kid from Indy is pretty good. They have good players. No one is saying that these guys aren't good players. But let's let's pump the brakes. They weren't a great program. They were a basketball program, and Bill Belichick's job here is to make them win the ACC and build a culture. That's what it's going to be. If they go and win the ACC two of the three next years, and I know people are going to say, Tommy, winning the ACC is his first year. You don't understand how bad the ACC is. The ACC is awful. Awful. If they can't win the ACC, and it two out of his, what, 5 years, that'd be a disappointment. He needs to win at least three ACC titles, in my opinion. And I think he can do that. He's going to have a lot of good recruits. People want to play for him in an awful, awful, awful conference. Awful. And with that schedule next year, trust me, the over-under for win should be 9.5. And I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know who's going to be on the coaching staff. I know his son will be, but I'm not sure exactly who will be on the coaching staff. And I don't know the roster. I need to do more homework. But I like to think this team is going to win over 9 games next year. 9-3 is the floor with this team based on that schedule. And if Bill Belichick goes 10-2, 11-1, plays an ACC title game, that'll be a very successful season. And if he can start building that, and make the Tar Heels the best program in the ACC, it was worth it. What more does he have to prove? He has to catch Shula's record. If he coaches at North Carolina for 2 years and they're successful, he could still get an NFL coaching job. I still believe that. But he said he always wanted to coach in college. His dad coached there. I think that also played a factor. I really do. He had huge respect for his dad. It makes sense. But I'm just stunned that he took it. I thought, you know what, he's holding out for an NFL job. But I don't hate it. I don't hate it as much as other people. You have people like Stephen A. Smith saying this job is beneath him and all that stuff. Look, he just wants to coach. He's done the media thing. He's on the Manning cast all the time. He's on McAfee, feels like, every day. He just wanted to switch it up. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to preview the big games in college football this week, as well as who I like to come out of the AFC and NFC as of right now. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will preview all of that next. This is the Tommy John Show, back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
The Go-Go Radio Magic Show. Every Friday night from 6 to 8 on CJLO.
This one goes out to the one I love.
Back in the Tommy John Show. So we have the first ever 12-team college football playoff, and it starts Friday. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for this weekend. My Notre Dame Fighting Irish, we host Indiana on Friday night. Little in-state rivalry there. And should be a great game. Then we got three huge games. Oh, it's the playoff. They're all huge, but I'm talking matchup-wise. You have Clemson and Texas, which should be a fun game. I think Texas should beat them. Clemson are so hit or miss. They lost to South Carolina. They lost to Louisville. Got their doors blown off by Georgia early in the year. I'm not sold by Clemson. I don't think Vegas is either. They're an 11.5-point underdog right now. 11.5. So it started at 10.5, too, and the line went up to 11.5. So I'm not feeling Clemson in that one. I could be wrong. Then, of course, we have SMU Penn State at 12. That's the first game. Penn State only favored by 8.5. Penn State got the biggest break of all time. They have to play SMU, then Boise State to make the Final Four. And this is a team that beat Minnesota by a point. They played two good teams this year, Oregon and Ohio State. They lost both. They haven't beat anyone. They beat up on Maryland. They're not a great team. I don't want to hear it. Their postseason starts when they play Georgia or Notre Dame in that Final Four. That's when it's going to start. I'm sorry. So, yep, that's the 12 o'clock game. We mentioned Clemson, Texas at 4. And then the night game, Tennessee at Ohio State. That's going to be an awesome game. And the main thing I'm going to watch in that one is how Ohio State responds after that embarrassing loss to Michigan. Embarrassing. You're a three-touchdown favorite at home, arch rival, Ryan Day, and everyone says we're going to get redemption for all. We're going to just beat up on them and just go after them, run up the score for all they've done to us in the last few years, and they lost. So it's going to be interesting to see how they recover. They're a 7-point favorite right now. I don't know how that game's going to go. I like Tennessee. I like their defense a lot. They got a good run game. To me, that young quarterback, Nico, I forget how to say his last name. I am Maivala. I cannot say his last name. I just call him Nico. Nico I. He's the question mark for me. He's very talented. He's a tall guy, big guy. Can make every throw. He's just been inconsistent. He was terrible against Arkansas. Wasn't that much better against Georgia. He's just very inconsistent for my liking. He has all the talent. I think he'll be a very good player. But he's young. But I'm saying right now, on this weekend, do I trust him in a big spot? I haven't seen it yet, but who knows? So right now, I would take Notre Dame. I know Kurt Cinetti's team. I think they're much better than people give credit for. They are tough up front. They have all those transfers from James Madison who play their tail off. I think Rourke's a decent quarterback. My concern for Notre Dame is putting the ball in Riley Leonard's hands and making him throw down the field. That is not a recipe for winning. The offensive line has gotten so much better since week one, and we have one of the best running backs in the country in Jeremiah Love. We have to run the ball, control the line of scrimmage, and then our defense should take care of the rest. I know there's some injuries on the defensive side. Imagine if Morrison, the tight end, the corner, was there. If we had him, he's one of the best corners in the country. If he was there, man, we would be laughing to a championship. If Benjamin Morrison was playing, we'd be laughing. But he's out. He's going to go to the NFL next year, be a top, whatever, 12th pick in the draft. Fair enough. But their defense is still elite. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play defense. If they get, I think Indiana, it's tough matchup because they want to do the same thing. I just trust Jeremiah Love, and that if we drop back and we're throwing with Riley Leonard 40 times, I'm going to lose it. And there should be people fired for that game plan. They have to run the ball and let the defense take care of the rest. That if they do that, they should be okay. That's a huge key for me. If Notre Dame do that, I'm taking Notre Dame. SMU, Penn State. I have to take Penn State. Just because SMU, I don't have a large sample size. Their big win is beating Duke. Oh, you came back against Clemson? Okay. I don't think Clemson's that good either. So Penn State should win this football game. And if they don't, Franklin might be fired. Like that they have the easiest path to a semifinal I've ever seen. SMU, Boise State. And an Oregon is going to have to play Tennessee or Ohio State? That doesn't make any sense. And Ohio State beat Penn State, and Oregon beat Penn State, and they have a harder path to the Final Four. It doesn't make any sense. They have to do the reseeding. They really do. Reseed after the first round next year. Please, committee, please can we do that? Then, obviously, Clemson, Texas. I'm not a Clemson guy. I'm going to take Texas. But Texas, I mean, let's be honest. What's their big win at Texas A&M? That's Notre Dame's big win, too. Texas has not done anything. Like, let's be honest. They played Georgia twice. They lost twice. They're great on paper. They got an excellent defense, excellent defensive front. Quinn Ewers, listen, He's regressed since the injury. I don't know if he's 100% healthy. He has not played that well. Is this an Arch Manning spot? Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to take Texas, though. I'm not. Clemson, they shouldn't even be in here. They lost to South Carolina, lost to Louisville. List goes on and on. Doors blown off by Georgia. They should not be here. They won the ACC. They got in because Miami can't beat Syracuse. They should not be in the playoff, but they are. Texas, just end them. Just end them, please. Please. And then Tennessee, Ohio State. I'm rooting for Tennessee. I don't really like either school. This is a tough one. This is a pick'em game. 7 seems like a lot of points. I'm not a Will Howard guy. I'm going to take the points in Tennessee, but this is a close game. But if you put a gun to my head, oh, I'm going to take Ohio State. You're putting a gun to my head, I'll take Ohio State. Not confident. This, to me, is a 50-50 game. 51-49% for me. 51% Ohio State, 49 Tennessee. It's going to be cold. That also plays a factor. I don't know. I'll take Ohio State, and I'm not confident about it. I am rooting for Tennessee, but I'm taking Ohio State. So I got Notre Dame taking down Indiana, Penn State beating SMU, Texas beating Clemson, Ohio State taking down Tennessee. I hope I'm wrong, except for Notre Dame. I'm rooting for SMU. I guess I'm rooting for Texas, maybe. And then I'm rooting for Tennessee. And then that would set up a very interesting bracket. Because then you're going to have Arizona State. They got a bye. I think they'll be playing Texas. And then you're going to have Oregon playing the winner of Ohio State, Tennessee. Then Penn State's going to play Boise. All right. And then Georgia will play Notre Dame or Indiana, probably Notre Dame. So you could have Notre Dame, Georgia, Boise State, Penn State, Ohio State or Tennessee versus Oregon, Texas, Arizona State. Those are pretty darn good games. And he put a gun to my head again. Probably taking Texas. Probably taking Oregon. Then Georgia, Notre Dame. Ah, tough game. Let's say I'll take Georgia. And then Penn State. So you could have Penn State, Georgia, Texas, Oregon as the Final Four. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Ah, I love this new format. They have to do the reseeding, though. Oregon being the best team in the country, and they get no reward. They get the week off, okay. But Georgia has a better draw. Boise State is a better draw. Like, that makes no sense. It really makes no sense. Quickly about who I like in the AFC and NFC. Right now, I will take the Buffalo Bills. Just because of Josh Allen. He's playing. He's unbelievable. He is truly unbelievable. And the Chiefs, I don't know. The Chiefs are always going to have a chance. And they seem to get every break known to man. Whether it's a pass interference down the field, an illegal contact, whether it's blocking kicks, doinking them off uprights. They seem to get every break known to man, and Andy Reid's a hell of a coach. But right now, I'm going to take Buffalo. Josh Allen looks unstoppable to stop. And the one thing they do well, they stop the run decently. And the Chiefs, on this Chiefs team, they want to run the ball first with Pacheco and Hunt and then play action off that. So matchup-wise, Buffalo match up very well. And I know it's foolish to say because the Bills cannot beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, even if their life depends on it. And it's not Josh Allen's fault. You look at his numbers against Kansas City. But this year, I just feel like with Kincaid, with Coleman back, they have Knox, who's a good tight end as well. So they have the two good tight ends. Shakir's been awesome. They actually have an elite running back now in James Cook. I like Buffalo. In the NFC, I was on the Lions all year. These injuries are starting to add up. I might be switching to Philadelphia, but I'm not there yet. Nick Sirianni scares me, and I'm not a Hurts guy. So it's between those two as well. Do not count out Tampa Bay. They have looked awesome the last few weeks. Awesome. So that's another little hot take for you. Minnesota, to me, that's another team people are undervaluing. Their defense is great, and it's unstoppable with Addison, Hawkinson, and Jefferson. That's pretty much unstoppable. So I have three teams in the NFC who I like a lot. Philly, Minnesota, Detroit. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week here on the Tommy John Show on CGLO. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you all next Monday. Come on, tie.